This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to what is a Wednesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and of course, streaming live on YouTube. 855-212-4227 is the number to jump on in. That's 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm Straight Flexin', or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, X, at Zach Gelb. That is Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We got a whole lot to do today. Joining us in studio, we will get a Colts fan reaction. What is going on with the Indianapolis Colts when they bench Anthony Richardson and now they're going back to Joe Flacco? So we will talk to no other than Ryan Hot Take Hickey in his weekly spot in studio at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Mike Mayock, the former NFL general manager, longtime NFL analyst. He's doing the game tomorrow night in the Swamps of Jersey along with Ian Eagle on Westwood One. So you could listen to that. He's going to stop by. We'll talk some football with him at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific. But the biggest story from last night, the New York Yankees are staying alive, as it's now 3-1 in the World Series. So I'll give you the serious sports talk radio take first, and then I will have fun in the way that I think people in society should have fun. But for some reason, I think we have lost our sense of humor in a lot of aspects of life. But let me give you the serious, super duper sports take. The Yankees won a game last night. You know what? Let me give you a nice little golf clap. All right, good job. Anthony Volpe showed up. He hit the grand salami. Cool moment, right? Grew up as a Yankee fan. You know, Derek Jeter is his idol. Afterwards, you got him on set with Jeter. You know, he didn't really even give a rat's ass about A-Rod or Big Poppy or Kevin Burkhardt. It was all, I'm sitting next to Derek Jeter, and he got a photo with Derek Jeter. It was very cool. But the Yankees, they got on the board. The Yankees are still down 3-1 in this series. And my expectation before the series started was Dodgers in six. I think the Dodgers are in a different league right now than the New York Yankees. And through the first three games, the Dodgers displayed that. In the top half of the first inning of last night, it looked like that the Dodgers were going to run the Yankees out of the building when Freddie Freeman hit another home run in the World Series. So you take the four games this year where he's hit a home run in the World Series, and the two the last time he was in the World Series, that's six straight games with him going deep in the Fall Classic. It's sensational. But the Yankees got off the mat last night. They threw some punches. The bell just went off. And now both fighters are going back to their respective corners. And the Yankees are still black and blue under the eye. They're still looking like they're about to get knocked out. But at least they got a few jabs in. Now, before the series started, I thought the Dodgers, like I said, were going to win in six. I also said, after this went up 2-0 and the series was shifting back to New York, that I anticipated that the Yankees would take two games from the Dodgers and the Dodgers would close it out in six. I believe that's still going to go that way. And I understand whenever you get a jab in at the Dodgers, they come back and they come back swinging, because even if you get a few of their big hitters out in their lineup, they have the most deep lineup, 1 through 9, in baseball, and it's not even close. So I'm not expecting, like, with 100% confidence that the Yankees win the game tonight. And maybe Gerrit Cole, who is their ace, pitched as well as he could in game one, and that was his good performance in this series, and the Yankees didn't pounce on it. The Yankees didn't capitalize. All those things are on the table. But tonight, how great Flaherty was in game one, how Cole, the manager, pulled him way too early on 88 pitches in game one, I would anticipate, even though Cole has been a little up and down in New York, but I would anticipate that Gerrit Cole is going to get the job done tonight for the New York Yankees. And let me be clear. If it gets to 3-2, I've already seen Mike Francesa say it. I've already seen Alex Rodriguez say it. Like, you can't let them win this game tonight. Why? The pressure is not on the Dodgers. People don't turn the narrative around on the Dodgers until there's a game 7. That's the way that I look at it. So even though if the Yankees win tonight, right, it sucks you back into the series. I think nationally people aren't sucked back into this series because the Yankees finally got on the board and it's 3-1. But if the Yankees win tonight, the Dodgers can still win this series. But I won't believe the Dodgers are going to lose this series until there's a game 7. Because you're telling me if the Dodgers go home for game 6, that atmosphere isn't going to be rocking, and with the Dodgers bats, they can't pounce and put the Yankees in the grave? Like, come on. It would be great. It would be fun. It would be awesome if we get a game 6. But I still don't believe that this series is going to go past game 6. And if it does go past game 6, I will then shift my narrative and I will say, Stuart Kovacs, get ready. We're going to have you drunk as a skunk down in a financial district at the Canyon of Heroes getting ready for a Yankee parade. But I will not even entertain that thought of seeing Stu not be sober, which you may say, tell me another day that it doesn't end in Y. But I will not think that Stu is seeing his team win it all until there is a Game 7. And just because there's a Game 7, it doesn't mean the Dodgers still can't win it. Because you look at the Stanley Cup Final this past year, the Panthers are up 3-0. They're up 3-0. And then the Oilers came storming back. They forced a Game 7, and the Oilers lost Game 7 to the Florida Panthers. Okay. That is the serious, super-duper sports talk when it comes to the World Series for today. Now let's get to the biggest story, period, in the World Series. Like, this is Yankees-Dodgers, right? This is Ohtani against Judge. This is Juan Soto against Mookie Betts. This is Giancarlo. No si puesto parlo. Giancarlo Stanton up against Freddie Freeman. And this World Series, if we're being honest, has been boring. It's been a snooze fest. As someone that's not a Dodgers fan, as someone that's not a Yankees fan, I've watched all the games. I went to game 3. You know, I know you had some entertaining games, but the series as a whole has been disappointing. It has not been what it's been advertised so far through 4 games. But there's a certain little thing that could happen in a series that makes it entertaining and gives everyone something to comment on. And it's the 2 Stunads that were at the game last night. The Yankee fans in the first inning, when Mookie Betts is going to try to catch a ball and they go try to play defense because they're on, Mookie's on their turf in the foul territory for their season tickets. And that's what did transpire last night. Now, before I get all the sensitive Sallies in the world on social media that are going to come for, my name, and they're going to just say, oh, you know, you're a disgraceful human being. You're a terrible talk show host. I am not saying what those fans did was right. Obviously, anyone with a brain acknowledges that what those 2 fans did was stupid. But you look at the context of what happened. If Mookie Betts got hurt last night, yes, It's a different tune today. We are all eviscerating those fans, and the behavior is deplorable. But since no one got hurt, since Mookie Betts didn't seem to give a you-know-what about it after the game, like, can we just acknowledge, even when something serious happens, even when something wrong happens, but nothing really came out of it? Like, the fans got escorted out. They're not going to be allowed back into the building tonight. It's a funny situation, okay? It's almost like when Saturday Night Live was actually good, because it's not good anymore. I can't even remember the last time I tuned into Saturday Night Live. But that would be a Saturday Night Live skit. That's what it was. Like, you had two stereotypical Yankee fans out in right field, down the first baseline, Mookie Betts, the former Red Sox, now the Dodger, going to try to catch the ball. And the moment he catches the ball, those two guys think they're like Lawrence Taylor and Harry Carson, and they're trying to strip the ball or rip off the glove of Mookie Betts. It's a Saturday Night Live skit. No one got hurt. No one's saying the behavior is right, but it's hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious. And you have everyone on social media, or a miserable part of our society on social media, how dare you glorify these two stoonads? You're a terrible person if you do so. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Like, come on. No one got hurt. It wasn't right to do. It happened. Everyone survives. And guess what? We could laugh at it. We could laugh at it. And we forgot how to laugh at this society. It's either you need to 100% be behind someone, or you need to, like, rip everyone down and tear everyone down and cancel them. Like, yeah, Austin Capobianco, he wasn't in the right. But this dude actually thinking that he can make an impact on the game and he could go rip the ball out of a player's glove is actually hilarious. And you know what? As someone that has found this World Series to be rather boring, rather underwhelming, considering what the hype was, that was the most enjoyable part of the World Series. It was the biggest moment of the World Series where I laughed and actually was entertained, and I was on the edge of my seat, and I was like, I can't believe that this is happening. So, Stu, you know, I got a lot of texts when this was happening. People saw, you know, a pasty white guy, and they were like, was it Stuart Kovacs? Was it Sean Marash? Was it our former co-worker, Chris Carlin? And I said, hey, Stu is not as big. Stu's not a big guy. You know, Slim Stu is not the size of that guy that we later found out, Austin Capobianco. You know, maybe Marash or Chris Carlin, they paid off Austin Capobianco, and it wasn't actually Austin Capobianco. That could be a possibility. But let me ask you, Stu, and I know you're a Yankee fan, so if you defend it, you're trash, you're terrible, you should be canceled, and we should tar and feather you, and we should make fun of you. But how did you react to that moment last night during the game when you were watching it?
Well, my first reaction was laughing because I just couldn't believe what was happening and believe that it was real. Like, I just, like, could not believe that. Not that only that they interfered with them, the fact of how they did it was just insane. And again, I don't condone it, but at the same time, I laugh at it.
It's like when you're at a beach and you're playing, like, flag football with your buddies, and the ball gets thrown to someone. It's like, kill the guy with the ball, rip the ball out from your friend when you're playing, like, you know, at the beach when you're, like, I don't know, like 9 or 10 years old. And that guy, I read that he was 38. I can tell you this, and maybe it's because of the position I'm in. And I'm still a fan, don't get me wrong. I'm a fan with the platform. But you get to know players, you get to know coaches. And I'm like, I go to a Met playoff game, I'm still a sick fan. I go to a Patriot game, I'm still a sick fan. You know, I go to a college football game, I'm still a sick fan. But, like, you're not as emotional as I was when I was 11 or 12, I care. I want my teams to win. The euphoria is awesome when they win. You're miserable when they lose. But when you know some people that could be on both sides, you know, sometimes it softens the blow a little bit. But that guy last night, he thought about this for years. And he finally was able to execute it. And don't get me wrong, because I know there's going to be a lot of sensitive people listening, and there's going to be a lot of people that are like, oh, I will never listen to Zach again. He's defending these two wild animals that were at the Yankee game last night. What happened afterwards means everything. And I know someone's going to call me up at 855-212-4227, and they're going to say, but Zach, what if Mookie Betts got hurt? Obviously, no bleep, Sherlock. Like, if he got hurt, no one's having fun with this today. But the fans got escorted out. Mookie Betts had no problem after the game. He said, keep it moving, so we move on to game five. I'm actually, though, disappointed. Now, it's deserved, but I'm disappointed that they have banned those two fans from coming back to the game tonight. And I did see that Barstool Sports, they do their live streams during the games. They have Mike Francesa on the live stream tonight because Mike Francesa's son, I guess, interned for Barstool Sports. If you're Barstool, you got the sports pope in the building, you got to get these two guys, Austin, whoever the other guy was, to the Barstool stream tonight. And I got to, like, honestly, I think I would watch the Barstool stream with those two guys and Francesa and their reaction to the game rather than watching the Fox feed during the game. And by the way, can John Smoltz, someone get that guy a cup of coffee? How boring is John Smoltz in this World Series? He seems like he would rather be anywhere but the World Series. Oh, he has no energy. No energy whatsoever. And Fox, can we use our brains a little bit? I know you're a big national brand, so you don't want to associate yourself with those two fans. How did you not have, like, Big Poppy running down there with the microphone, you know, in the seats before those guys got escorted out of the building and interview them? It would have been unbelievable. But, man, Smoltz terrible. I don't know about you, Stu. Joe Davis, good. Like, I like Joe Davis. I think Joe Davis is really good. I don't think he's, like, the greatest broadcaster that I've ever heard. But Joe Davis is a shining star compared to John Smoltz, who, like, sometimes I bet you Joe Davis, like, pats him on the shoulder and he's like, hey, you up, big fella? You up, John Smoltz? Because Smoltzy, and I usually like Smoltz, but he has been dead, absolutely dead in this series.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I'm typically a fan of Smoltz, but this has not been a good series for him. I'm with you.
Do you like the post-game show, the pre- and post-show?
I do.
I think it's good. Fun and conversational.
Yeah, I think it's good.
Mm-hmm. With A-Rod and Big Poppy and Derek Jeter. Even Derek Jeter starting to develop a little bit of a personality. And obviously you got the great Kevin Burkhardt as well.
I think A-Rod's way better in that set than he is, like, you know, calling a game like he used to do for Sunday Night Baseball.
Yeah, well, because A-Rod's a reality TV guy. And you'd rather be a reality TV guy. Like, that's the way that I look at A-Rod. He's like a reality show. That's what I want out of the studio guys. Like a Shaq or a Charles Barkley. Like Terry Bradshaw, the good studio guys are personalities. They're characters. So those are my thoughts last night on the deplorable. See, you at least got it at me. The deplorable situation at Yankee Stadium. Can you imagine if the Yankees, I don't think they're coming on back. Let me be clear. Can you imagine if the Yankees come on back, though? These two dopes, they're going to be heroes. They're going to be legends. They're going to have a plaque in Monument Park, and they're going to be at the parade, Stu. They're going to have a float at the parade. Because Major League Baseball had to tell the Yankees, hey, ban them tonight. The Yankees weren't going to ban them. But then Major League Baseball was like, hey, we shouldn't let these guys in the building tonight. So where are you at, Stu? On the confidence scale, I think yesterday you were at, what, 12%, I think? You said something
yes.
Like that they were going to come on back?
Or, it was very low, yes.
So where are you at now? 3-1, you got a little life. Is Stu starting to believe that what happened 20 years ago to the Yankees in the ALCS when they were up 3-0 to the Boston Red Sox and then the Red Sox won game 4. They won game 5. They won game 6. They won game 7. Is this now happening in a reverse way in the World Series for the New York Yankees? What's the confidence of Stuart Kovacs that the Yankees win tonight, number one, and then number two, that they come on back and win the series?
I think they win tonight. I feel good with Cole on the mound. I don't think they win game 6. Okay. I don't think Rodon, I just don't have much faith in Rodon, especially against Yamamoto at Dodger Stadium. A lot of pressure is going to be on them at that point. I don't think the Dodgers lose game 6.
If they do win game 6,
Yeah, I feel pretty good. It's not a lock, but I feel pretty good.
90%?
I'd say like 85%, 85.
Okay.
It's pretty good. I'd feel really good if they won game six. I think that's the one they lose.
What do you think of the fan behavior? 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. If you can't laugh at that last night, then maybe you're just like Greg Dayton in the YouTube chat and you're just always miserable. We'll take a timeout. Coming on back, it is the Zach Gelb Show.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
You know what's crazy? So we're talking about the two Yankee fans at the game last night that interfered with Mookie Betts. You look back at fan interference. What are the two things that come to mind? One is obviously a baseball story that no one will ever forget, and it's Steve Bartman. Like, think about that. Bartman, unintentional, interfered and ended up being like the most hated person in Chicago, right? Think about that. With the headphones on, people were throwing things at him. The dude had to go into hiding. Up until the Cubs won the World Series and the Cubs reach out like, hey, we want to give you a ring. We want to acknowledge you. You know, we want to welcome you back, blah, blah, blah. And like Steve Bartman's like, no, I'm so traumatized from what happened. I want no part of this. I just want to live my life and just try to be a regular dude when now everyone knows me for this one incident when Steve Bartman really had zero intention of becoming a story. But because the Yankees benefited from this, and you have two Yankees fans trying to rip a ball out as if they're playing a practical joke on someone, on Mookie Betts, and they look like a bunch of 13-year-olds, even though they're like 38 years old, right? And those guys have like actual, real, somewhat adult lives, I would assume. Those guys get celebrated. Like, Stu, I don't know about you. I'm sure Steve Bartman, he's like hiding still. And I kind of, you know, in bench warmers where the kid that gets bullied and he like locks himself in his parents' basement or his mom's basement. And he's like with the whole like Dungeons and Dragon kind of set kind of guy. Like that's how I envision how Steve Bartman still lives. He's like living a life, but he's living a life in a basement. So when he turns on the TV last night and he's watching the World Series and he sees these two guys getting lauded and celebrated by Yankee faithful, Steve Bartman's probably just looking there saying, what the heck did I do wrong? So I did think of Steve Bartman last night, Stu, how he kind of got just screwed over in this whole situation.
He was definitely, like you said, there are two famous ones, and I think we both have the same two, and Bartman was definitely the first one that came to mind for me, too.
Okay, I would assume that we had the same second one, but what is it?
Jeffrey Mayer, Yankees Orioles 96.
Oh, okay. Fine. Now, that was an actual kid. So it's like you can't really hold it against a kid. I was not even thinking that one.
Interesting.
It's not even a baseball moment. I'm talking about fan interaction.
Not baseball.
Yeah. Malice at the Palace.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like that was actually ugly, nasty, you know, terrible fan behavior. And you had the players running into the stands as well. Which just totally made the situation escalate even further. Like, that was such a black eye for the NBA and a dark day for the NBA. But when I think of fan interaction and, like, negative fan interaction moments, it's Steve Bartman. And then this is in a different stratosphere, the mayhem, you know, with Malice at the Palace. But those are the two things that I did think of. All right, a few funny things to come out of this. Let me get to Rob Gronkowski. So earlier this morning, I see this tweet talking about this guy, Austin, what is it, Capobianco, whatever his name is, which is It just fits into the stereotype of what the stereotypical Yankee fan is. Big, you know, Italian guy. Looks like he eats like 7-8 meatball parm heroes before entering the game. You know, drunk as a skunk. You know, very emotional. Willing to fight the opposing team's players for the good of the Bronx Bombers, right? So I'm reading this story. And it's highlighting on ESPN who this guy is. And, of course, you got all these people that are on their high horse. Why are you finding a way to make a positive spin? And why are you glorifying this guy? Like a bunch of losers on social media that just can't laugh anymore. And I see this guy's Twitter is somewhere in the article, like hyperlink. You could click on it. And he had like 150-something followers. And I see that Big Cat is following him. Barstool's following him, so it makes sense. And then I see Rob Gronkowski, of all people, the Gronker, you know, is following this Austin Capobianco. So I saw it and I'm like, you know what? I got to get to the gym. Then I have a chiropractor appointment after the gym. Like, I'm not really going to research why Rob Gronkowski is following this guy. You know, maybe Gronk was Twitter savvy. You know, some people, they try to say that Gronk is just one dumb big jock, but maybe he was a little Twitter savvy and he quickly found this guy and he just followed him for the sake of following it once the cat was out of the bag. But this is Gronk on Up and Adams with Kay Adams. He has a relationship with Austin Capobianco.
That guy right there grabbing Mookie Betts' glove.
Don't tell me you know
was
him.
My friend in college.
Gronk, stop it right now.
He was on the ice hockey team, the club Arizona Wildcats team, ice hockey team. And let me tell you, the whole hockey team, they were absolute maniacs. They were undescribable just how wild
animals?
These guys. Animals, yes. How wild these guys were. Him doing that represents him very well. I mean, he is all in for his teams. He is all in for the Yankees. I remember him talking about the Yankees all the time, how he loves them so much. And that describes him perfectly, just doing whatever it takes to help his team out. But
he's a beauty.
He is a beauty.
Okay, hold
I just
on.
Want to say congratulations.
Congratulations!
For shining when your moment came.
So I was in a frat in college. And when you're in, like, a fraternity, then you know of, like, other fraternities as well. And they're, like, you know, being on a sports team is basically like being on a fraternity. Whenever, like, the ice hockey fraternity or, you know, the ice hockey team would throw a party, it was always the most reckless parties. So if Gronk was impressed by the way that this guy conducted himself and how he partied, this guy had to be, like, just slugging probably like 20 natties down, then ripping like 8 fireball shots, doing 4 bong hits, and then getting ready to go out for the night. You know, slapping a little wine bag as well. I'm sure this guy was like a tough hockey guy that would just get absolutely obliterated in college. And Gronk is the definition of what it is to party. So him and Gronk probably had a lot of blacked out nights back in the day at Arizona. But just, of course, that's so Gronk. You know, the random stunat at the Yankee game that is making a jackass out of himself, even though personally I found it funny. The next thing, Gronk's like, wait a second, I know that guy. That's big Austin Capobianco. Back in the day, we used to drink beers together at Arizona. Just unbelievable. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Let's go to Adrian in Maryland, wants to chime in on this fan interference at the Yankee game last night at the World Series up against the Dodgers. Yo, Adrian, what's shaking?
Hey, Zach, what's up going on, bud? Hey, this is my thing. I thought it was just like, you know, a fan trying to get a ball from Mookie. But then when they zoom in and you see him trying to pry his glove open like it's a clam or something, that was the funny part. I mean, I don't condone it because Mookie could have got hurt. I understand that. Mm-hmm. But when they zoomed in, you couldn't but laugh at it because it was just hilarious. And these two fat dudes trying to pry his glove open.
It was only one fat dude. The other guy was skinny. The other guy, you remember Tommy DeVito's agent, that guy Sean Stilettos, whatever his name is. He looked like Tommy DeVito's agent, that other guy.
One question I did have is, how do they not get first dibs at the ball? Mookie's got to reach up to get the ball. They're higher than him, and they still don't get it, and they got a glove on like they're a 9 or 10-year-old at the game.
It's a great point. I think that's why Mookie Betts is the professional athlete, and that guy's paying to watch Mookie Betts play baseball. Probably why, but great phone call, Adrian. And here's the other part of this, to go deep into the weeds on this. This is why I love this topic, because you can have fun. And if you can't acknowledge that we're having fun with this, then you know what? Time to change the dial for today, okay? But it's very simply this. What is fair here, Stu? Mookie Betts is going into their territory. So can you play a little defense? Where I thought they took it too far, Stu, is when they were trying to rip the glove off. Like, you lost at first, but you could. I think you could make a little effort where you could take a swipe at the glove. But once you're, like, holding on to the glove as if it's, like, some sacred item and you're trying to rip off the arm of Mookie Betts, even I will say, and I am, you know, Mr. Fun, even I will say I thought that was when it was taken a little bit too far.
Yeah, if it's just the first part, we wouldn't probably be talking about it today. But the fact that it was just so ridiculous with the trying to rip it out and open the glove and all that, that's what makes it ridiculous.
You know what I want to do? I want to go back into the sales office right now. And our ticket guy for the Yankees, Mark Zuckerman, is a great guy, Zuck. I want to say, hey, I'm interested in going to the Yankee game tonight. World Series, I want to go. But I'm only interested if you could get me a seat in foul territory down the line. So just in case, if either a Yankee or a Dodger's there, I could try to channel my inner Austin Capobianco from last night. I think that would be fun. So maybe we'll get some Yankee tickets.
There's two open seats.
Yeah. And those guys got refunded, and I wonder then who gets their tickets. Now, when you're banned from a stadium, now those guys, they've become so big now that people know who they are, right? Like, they're the talk of the World Series so far. Like, in a week from now, you know, unless the Yankees come on back, you know, it'll be a blip. People will forget about it. But they're just banned for tonight. Like, don't you put on a disguise?
Yeah, pull a Bobby Valentine.
Yeah,
put on a little mustache and some glasses.
And I'm not saying you sit in those seats.
No,
no. You could go get, like, upper deck seats. And you could get into the stadium. Like, I know sometimes they have that facial recognition and all that stuff. But if they really wanted to go to the game, you put on a little disguise, a little mustache. You think they're really going to get booted?
No.
But it's a money opportunity for those guys. Like, hey, Barstool, you want me at your stream tonight? Start giving me a paycheck. You know, they could get a lot of money out of this stuff. All right, it is Zach Gelbsch on the Infinity Sports Network. It is Take 5 Wednesday. I will give you my top five teams in college football and the NFL when we come on back. And there is one team that I think people will be stunned about in college football. That is not, let me repeat that, is not in my top five. We get to that when we come on back. Update time. Here he is, the Ackman, Rich Ackerman.
As the dust settles from last week's games, it's time to look at which teams are rising.
Touchdown!
And which are falling.
And there's an interception.
Zach ranks his top five NFL and college football teams on this week's edition of Take 5, only on the Zach Gelb Show.
That's what I'm talking about, Zach Gelb Show, and it's time to ask the pros where you, yes, you, the listener, gets to ask us a question. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INF Sportsnet or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the extravaganza when we might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts or your car care needs to guarantee low prices and excellent, and I mean excellent, customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. All righty, let's start with college. And I'm making an executive decision this week. Sorry, Stu, I'm not asking. I'm going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Not 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Stu gave me a thumbs up, so that's his way of saying, yeah, I agree with you, or I'm just going to pretend to agree with you. In at number one, they just beat the snot out of a top 25 Illinois team. We know a few weeks prior to that, they found a way to defeat Ohio State. They also have a win up against Boise State. The Ducks got off to a little bit of a slow start where it didn't look clean their first two games of the season. But now Dylan Gabriel, Dan Lanning, and company are rolling Oregon in at number one. We get to number two. Did not play this past week, coming off a win that got them back in our good graces. And that, of course, are the Georgia Bulldogs after they beat Texas 2 weeks ago. And they had one loss of the season. It was to Alabama. Terrible first half. Then they played well in the second half. In at number three. A little bit of a slow start, but they pulled away You know, it's crazy that this is the third best team in the country in my estimation. And they have a big one this week up against the Ohio State, noon Eastern, at Happy Valley. But I'm going with the Penn State Nittany Lions. In at number four, this team keeps on winning. I think the game this weekend could be a little bit trickier than what people expect because there's going to be motivation for Manny Diaz. I still think Miami will win, but it will be tighter than what people think. But with Duke, Georgia Tech, Wake Forest, and Syracuse on the schedule, yeah, the Hurricanes, led by Cam Ward, they should be undefeated at the end of the regular season. So the Hurricanes are in at number four. And then in at number five, yes, they lost to Notre Dame to start off the season. But since then, regardless of what quarterback they play, they've been unbelievable. And they've been a lot of fun to watch. And we saw them just take it to Missouri. But then down, you know, 17-7 to LSU, they put Marcel Reed in, and boom, they ended up protecting their home turf. That's the A&M Aggies, the Aggies of A&M, Texas A&M, as they took care of LSU 38-23. So I think people are going to be listening and saying, hey, Zach forgot someone. You got Oregon 1, Georgia 2, Penn State 3, Miami 4, A&M 5. No, I know what I'm doing. I didn't forget someone. But Stu, if you want to do a little checks and balances, you could speak now or forever hold your peace.
Yeah, what about the team that's ranked fourth in the AP Top 25 and only has one loss to number one Oregon, and that is Ohio State?
So last year, and this was the team that we were teasing, if you can't tell. But last year, I was early on the bandwagon that Ohio State's not as good as what you think they are. And when the committee on their first committee rankings put that at one, I said I can name five or six teams better than Ohio State. This is not anti-Ohio State. This is not me saying Ohio State can't get back into the top five. But they need to earn my respect back. And they have an opportunity to do that this weekend, going to Happy Valley and taking care of Penn State. A game where, quite frankly, I think it means more for Ohio State than it does Penn State. We'll explain more about that later on in the week. But after losing to Oregon and not and lacking awareness down the stretch of that game, and then barely, and I mean barely, beating Nebraska, I need to see more from Ohio State for them to impress me to get into the top five. Now, they go beat Penn State this weekend, they're right back in the top five, and they're moving right up that list past some teams, but I gotta see it. This is not what you have done in the past, you know, previous years. This is what you have done in the year of 2024. So that's why Ohio State, oh!
What about Texas? Why one loss Texas, that one loss to Georgia? What about them?
So the loss to Georgia is just one of those things where I'm like, how good are they actually? You know, they didn't just lose to Georgia. They lost going away to Georgia and then followed it up with a very underwhelming performance up against Vanderbilt, where I would have liked to see them come out swinging a little bit harder than they were off this past week. So, or that Vanderbilt game was over the weekend. So it was that performance up against Vanderbilt where I was just like, yeah, they didn't really thoroughly impress me. And they left the door open for Vanderbilt. And Vanderbilt, not that they were ever going to complete the comeback, but they did come close. So that's why Texas is out.
What about Tennessee? They were off this week, but the week before that, they beat Alabama.
Great win up against Alabama. Saves their season, keeps them alive for the playoff mix. I just still, as a freshman, I don't trust Nico Iamaliava right now. Too much up and down for me. That's why they're out.
And last but not least, the undefeated Indiana Hoosiers.
Good win last week, especially without their quarterback. And Cignetti's a phenomenal coach. They still have a big boy opponent to play, and that's Ohio State. They got to go get a big boy victory because their best victory up until this point is up against Nebraska, who right now is in a top 25 team. So that's why, even though I think he's the coach of the year, they're on the outside looking in. All right, NFL, I'll go 5-4-3-2-1. Commanders in at number five. Who would have ever thought we would be saying that before the start of this season? And I know they pulled the rabbit out of the hat, but they did it. And that team has been really fun to watch this year. And they have a star quarterback in Jaden Daniels. Four, it's the Buffalo Bills. I thought that game was going to be a grinded out type of game where Buffalo would win by 4 to 7 points. I laid the three with Buffalo. That game was over very early as the Bills walked into the 12th man country in Seattle and just stomped the Seattle Seahawks. In at number three, go Pack, go. They're on a four-game win streak. regardless if Love is healthy or not, they still find the ways to win games. And I get it wasn't pretty up against Jacksonville, but it's a win, and it's a big win. And then you get a huge game coming up on Sunday at 4:25 p.m. Eastern time up against the Lions. So I have the Packers 3, the Lions are then 2. Perfect segue. It's like I do this for a living. Look, I walked right into that one. And when I look at the Detroit Lions, I get it. They played Tennessee. Tennessee stinks. But it's how they just embarrassed. Absolutely embarrassed and just boat raced the Titans. And then at number 1, they keep on winning. It's not pretty. But when Mahomes hasn't even been Mahomes and Kelce finally came alive on National Tight Ends Day, and you're sitting there 7 games into the season at 7-0, and your defense is better than your offense, yeah, that's why the Chiefs are 1. And until someone takes out the Chiefs, I'm not going to take them out of that number 1 spot, or I don't think I will. Stu, speak now or forever hold your peace.
All right, what about the Texans up to 6-2 after their win over the Colts?
That was the team that was right in the 5th spot, and then I took them out. And I took them out for one reason and one reason only. It's nothing that they did, but it's because Stephon Diggs got hurt. And you got Nico Collins still out. I think the record of 6-2, even though they go continue to win a bunch of games, I think they're going to come back down to earth a little bit and they're going to struggle a little just because of all the injuries that they suffered. Now, they're fortunate to be playing the Jets on Thursday, but I did see that the Jets are a slight favorite, a 1.5, 2-point favorite, which I don't understand that one. I think they're just trying to make me not bet the Texans because I was going to bet the Texans. And I'm like, that line smells a little fishy. So it's the injuries with the Texans.
What about the Eagles? 3 straight wins after a shaky start.
Good performance. Phenomenal second half up against Cincinnati. That Devontae Smith may turn their season around. That catch. I got to see more up against better opponents with Philadelphia. You know, the Browns and the Giants doesn't make me jump up and down, and the Bengals are bad this year. It was impressive, but not worthy of being a top 5 team right now.
The Baltimore Ravens, they looked good, but then they lost to the Browns.
Well, that's what it is. That team, I think, is the 3rd best team in the AFC. You know, you could make a case maybe they're in front of Buffalo. You know, they did beat Buffalo. But when you lost that game to Cleveland and you also lost earlier in the year to the Raiders, that makes me reset a little bit. And I put you just outside of the top 5 for now.
All right. And last but not least, after going to Russell Wilson as their starting quarterback, 2 straight wins for the Steelers.
It's still a lack of trust in that offense. It's like you knew the Steelers were going to beat the Giants, but how they left the door open for the Giants and had to get bailed out once again by TJ Watt, who's the best defensive player in football. It's like one of those things where you're 6-2, it would appear you're a great team, but this is what the Steelers have been for a while, where they haven't won a playoff game since the 2016 season. And it's one of those things where it's just like, okay, whatever their record is, they're really not that good as what their record says they are. So the lack of consistency and trust on offense is why I have the Steelers on the outside looking in. So top 5 teams of the college football world: Oregon, Georgia, Penn State, Miami, A&M, Ohio State fans, before you want to, you know, basically just absolutely like annihilate me, what I will say is this: you win this week, which I right now on a Wednesday, I'm picking you to win. You go back in the top 5, but I need to see it from you guys this year because everyone says a great year. I haven't seen it yet. And then in the NFL, Chiefs 1, Lions 2, Packers 3, Bills 4, and the Commanders in at number 5. Talking about Penn State, talking about the Indianapolis Colts. We weren't talking about the Indianapolis Colts, but we will in 5 minutes. Hot Take Hickey joins us next for a state of the Nittany Lions and also those Indianapolis Colts.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.